Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And, okay, Robert, and we got a lot on your plate here.
Got a lot on our plate.
Yeah, mostly here, you, but that's good.
Right. Now, one thing I thought, since we just, in the previous half hour, we talked about a lot about the Cambridge municipal elections, and there's more to say because of the ballot question. We'll get back to that in a second. Right. But, you know, I think the last time we did a show, it was before the
primaries. That's right.
Preliminary elections. The term preliminary, primary, general election. Yeah, right. I always try and get these right.
But, right. Well, Somerville and Boston had primaries.
Right. So the system in many cities and towns, which have directly elected mayors, which and we are not one of them, where what they do is they whittle the field down to two candidates. And in a preliminary election, and then the two candidates, as my grandma used to say, irregardless of party, the two go head to head in the November election. Okay, that's kind of how it's done. It's actually how a lot of elections are conducted in the southern states as well, I might add. It's sort of funny that way.
Yeah.
So it's right as our immediate neighbors were Somerville and Boston, right? And in our previous program, I think, or at least in previous programs, we talked a little bit about, we're doing a little guessing, like, what do you think is going to happen? And my suggestion, I didn't really know what was going to happen in Somerville. I mean, I thought everybody's hope and prayer was, please let it not be Billy Toro.
Yeah.
And thankfully it was not Billy Toro.
No.
You know, he finished dead last. So basically it's going to come down to a question. And in this regard, it's probably similar to Boston in a way, in that you have a person who is an identifiable talent. Well, there's different ways to cut the pie here, right?
True.
But somebody who is a clear townie, born and raised, lifer in Somerville.
What's her name?
Katiana.
Katiana.
Right? Valentine, right? And Will Mba, who I actually first met. I think he was actually was a custodian or somebody at MIT.
Right? Really?
He was first running, yeah. So he was just working
guy.
He's
from Cameroon, right? Or his family.
Yeah, originally from Cameroon. So, but there's a guy who
came in, yeah.
Great. Yeah, he's an elected counselor in Somerville. Very much identifiably associated.
And so is she, isn't
yes. He was very much, I would say, I tend to associate him with the Our Revolution group.
Okay, and not
maybe the other one is blessed by them as well.
Yeah, although, I mean, I did watch the one debate they had, I did watch it, and she was more impressive to me than the other.
Yeah. So I think that, so the townie vote did not go for Billy Toro.
No.
But there is still a lot of people who live their whole lives in Somerville who are very likely to come out and vote. They may favor the person who is another race candidate.
Yeah. So, which is now you're going to Boston and you're going to.
Right. So in Boston, there's a similarity, at least. And it's certainly different. But I think the big story that's been written about all over the Boston Globe, and I think it's a bit unfair, but it's also unfortunately true.
It's also nationally. It has been covered nationally.
Too. Yeah, but so there were five candidates for Boston, three identifiably Black candidates, and the vote was split.
Yeah.
And so of the five candidates, of whom two were to proceed to the November election, none of the Black candidates proceeded to the November election.
Right.
Right? So the two candidates—
including the acting mayor.
That's right. Right. So Michelle Wu, who is sort of the darling of the left, right? The progressives, whatever that means.
And the techies, whatever, all the people. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Anissa Asabi George.
Asabi George, yeah.
Right.
Who was born here, right?
Yes. So she's town. And so you may very well see the kind of I mean, already they were sort of either trying to, smear each other a little bit or run from what they've said in the past.
I heard that night that Anissa's like, the mayor, I'm going to be on mayor. Boston, she really played that up, right?
She was really playing it up. Yeah, I was actually charmed by that, I have to say. Yeah. I was like, all right. But yeah. But you know, I think they're both quality candidates.
And the police
issue, you know, which unfortunately gets oversimplified to
too bad. Yeah.
Do you support the police or do you defund the police?
You
want to
just get rid of them. Yeah.
As opposed to, can we just do it better?
Can we just reform and do things like, you know.
I think that's what most voters just want.
And a lot of the police people want that too. They don't want to have to respond to these mental health and drug.
Yeah, I think that's kind of generally true in a lot of states like Massachusetts. Yeah. You know, you can, certainly in Cambridge, I think the police are not willing to claim they're without fault. And they're always embracing the idea of doing things better, you know. But, you know, this is the current politics of the past year and a half is, you know, let's face it, there are people in Cambridge who still actually believe you should abolish the police. And I thought, well, that's silly, but, you know, that rhetoric is out there still, you know. So I don't think that's really how most voters are going to think of things, but it is definitely part of the vocabulary for the Boston general election come November.
Well, it'll definitely be a woman, but they knew that anyway, because John Barrows was not polling well at all. So.
That's right, you know. And
but it's too bad. I mean, I really liked it. I listened to two different debates that were right before the primary one. I did like Andrea Campbell. I thought she was really
good. Yeah, no, I thought she was great.
And I think she's going to go places.
I agree.
I think she was more effective
in a lot of ways. But it's terrible that there's all this finger pointing. Well, she should have dropped out in favor of Kim Janey. But the truth is that she was a declared candidate from the previous year.
I know.
And then
she came out before Walsh even was appointed.
Yeah. And then Janey just became sort of the accidental mayor.
Because she was president of the council. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So she gets
to retain that, right? She didn't have to give that up. It's my understanding.
Her council seat. No, she's still the city council president. There may be somebody kind of acting in that role.
But she didn't have to give it up to become the acting mayor.
No.
Well, that's a kind of good thing, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, it's.
Okay, so actually, that's Boston.
I think she gave it up. Oh. Well, she is it now, but.
This is a municipal election. Right.
So there are new races.
You're right.
She did not seek re-election to her council seat.
Okay. So then she did, in a sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I think you can't have it both ways. Right.
Right. So some of these Campbell, Janey, Asabi George, I don't believe any of them ran for their council seats. So consequently, all but one of them none of them will be councilors next time around. So there is some interest in.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that none of them that ran can.
This is a municipal election and these are 2-year terms. So.
And they weren't.
If they were running for mayor, they were not running for
council. I thought they were overlapping terms. They all come up every two years like ours do?
Yes, municipal.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I believe so, unless I've completely fouled up here.
All right, I'm going to look that up because I don't know. All right.
Yeah, no, there are some interesting individual district councilor and at-large councilor races going on in Boston, but I didn't follow them particularly closely.
I didn't think there were that many. So maybe, or I'm going to look that up because I think it's different. But anyway, let's go on to more local stuff. All right.
All right. So
let's
locally,
go on to our elections.
Yes. Let's say a little bit more about the elections. Actually, one thing I'm going to say is that, you know, it was all settled that we are going to have early voting for.
Yes. I sent in my card because I decided I wanted to do that.
Now that's not early voting. It's
mail-in voting. You're right.
Here's my card, right? Okay. So the city sent out a postcard to every registered Cambridge voter,
right?
Basically inviting them to send in the card to apply for
a mail-in ballot. Or a drop-off ballot.
That they could either mail in or if they're wise, they could drop in the drop boxes, of which I believe there'd be about six of them around the city.
Well,
right?
Yeah, so easy.
Yeah. So, and I don't know what
it's
the
not Texas after all.
Yeah. That's right. We don't have drive-in voting. What the heck?
It said you can get it by mail up to them by October 27th, which I thought was awfully late.
Right. That's right. But
it'd be crazy to wait.
You know, the word to the wise: if you're going to mail it in, mail it in very early.
Right.
Do not wait until late in the game to do any actual mailing in. But that's why we have the drop boxes. Yeah. So so I'm sure this will work for just about everybody. But you know, I got my card. You know, so I'm probably not going to send this in because I think I'm going to vote in person.
Just go next door? Is that where your precinct is?
Yeah, I'm just at City Hall Annex personally. Yeah.
There's so many things to look at. I just want to have it
right.
So I don't want to wait.
So there'll be there are three sites: Water Department, Main Library,
for early voting,
Valenti Library, I guess East Cambridge. You know, for early voting. But that's that's just during the week before Election Day, basically.
Right.
And then there's the no excuse absentee voting, which is what the card is about, you know. And then there's Election Day voting, right?
Right.
So there's plenty of ways to vote. There's a lot of people people are speculating, well, do you think voter turnout's going to go up or down or stay the same or less? And honestly, I think everybody's just sort of blowing smoke. Nobody really knows because it very much depends on who's targeted. And you know, if individual campaigns or organizations, whole organizations, decide to spend all their dollars basically just trying to pull people out to vote, we'll see. You know, I have no idea how much effort they're going to do or how effective they're going to be. You know, we'll see. And so that's to come. There is one thing we've certainly mentioned this in the past, and I think it's definitely worth mentioning again, which is that in addition to the city council race and the school committee race that are on the ballot this year, there are also three ballot questions. They're kind of interrelated ballot questions because they're all about charter reform.
Right.
The first one is basically calls for, to me, this is the most problematic one, is the one it calls for giving city council the authority to essentially veto city manager appointments to any of the boards or commissions, right? That would include regulatory boards, advisory boards. And honestly, it's vaguely written. So you know, I have to raise the question, if there was a task force to look at childhood education formed, does that count as a board or commission, which would therefore be subject to city council appointment approval? You know, honestly, you know, what makes something a board? Or a commission, and even in that same spirit, there's questions, for example, and I think I know the answer, but I'm not a lawyer.
So
for example, the election commissioners, right? The election commission, there are four election commissioners. Each one is appointed, and every year, you know, Republican Democrat appointed by the city manager. But he is not free to just appoint anybody. He must choose from a list of three that are vetted by the respective party city committees. So, you know, he basically has to choose one out of the three Democratic nominees.
Is this in the charter or is this per commission?
Okay, so now I'm going to pretend to be a lawyer for a moment and just
why wasn't this adjudicated before we sent it off to the state? Why didn't our legal department look at it?
Well, I'm not gonna crush the law department here, but I think that should have been in the narrative.
There should have been a public hearing or something. There should have been
All these ballot questions.
Well, the other two, like you said,
with no process.
Yeah. Well, the other two, like you said, we could have done it all along. We didn't need a charter to review.
Right. But two problematic examples, which I think I can give an interpretation, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
One was the election commissioners.
Right.
The election commission was established by a special act of the legislature in 1921.
Okay.
It was not established as part of the Plan E charter.
So
I would probably make the case, but I could be wrong because after all, it is called a commission and they are appointed by the manager.
Right.
So, because it was not part of the charter, you might argue those appointments are not subject to council approval.
City council review, right.
Nothing in the legal opinion, and there was certainly nothing from the Attorney General's office, which completely fell flat in this regard.
Yeah.
They'd address this. Perfunctory approval, that's it. Another one is, how about this, the License Commission.
Right, that's the one I was concerned about.
So the Cambridge License Commission is pretty important.
Yeah.
Now, I would argue that they would not be subject to this.
Is that also a state?
No. Well, I mean, yes, no. Okay. Their authority is, you know, there's certain enabling legislation that, you know, maybe even there was a home rule petition once upon a time that right. allowed the license commission to basically regulate things rather than the city council, like it would be done in some other places, mm-hmm. right? So, but the thing is who was on the license commission? Well, there's three city employees, right? So the executive director of the license commission is certainly hired by, so you could arguably say appointed by the city manager by okay. virtue of being the executive director. So that's Nicole Marotti Ferrer right now.
Right.
She's a member of the license commission. Is she appointed? Is that subject to city council approval? Right? I don't think so. But again, I'd love to have seen that in the write-up.
When you say appointed, in other words, you don't apply for that.
No, but you apply for the job.
Right. So right? then,
and it's a paid professional job.
Right. So to me, when you say appointed, it sounds like you don't go through a process.
The city manager hires you.
Well, yeah, then it's a hiring process. It's not, why do you call
it appointed? I know, but. Right, but see, these are some of the ambiguities that I yeah. find problematic. Okay. The other two members of the license commission are the police commissioner and the fire chief.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I don't think anybody can make the case that right. the city council should have the right to veto the choice of police commissioner
yeah.
by virtue okay. of the fact that the police commissioner serves on the license commission
but
or
who else
the
is
fire
on the,
chief.
But is there
that's
a,
it. No,
are there
three.
Citizens involved with, that's
no,
it? That is
no,
the license
not for
commission.
That's right. So I would argue then
that
way the license commission is formed is independent of appointment. You basically hire these three people to three city jobs.
Right.
And by virtue of their job, they automatically become license commissioners.
Right. Yes.
So I would argue then that this should not be subject
sure.
to that. But still,
right.
that should have been in the narrative. You know, at least to the city council, it should have addressed that.
When you say the narrative, now there is going to be if you support this, this is what it would mean. If you don't support this, this is what it would mean, right? Arguments on both
yes,
sides.
Yes, right. So there will be pro and con statements. There'll be a
well, hopefully the con statements will address some of this. But
yeah, I hope so. But the what you've got there is three questions. The first one had to do with the boards and commissions one, which
right.
you know is the one I find
hey,
most problematic
very.
Because. I've, you know, listen, as a, you know this, because we have served on a recycling advisory committee, we have to fill out ethics forms and things. We are, in some respects, we are unpaid city appointees.
We were, and then
city employees.
But we had to apply to the recycling people, and then they forward, I think they.
Well, that's just as a formality. You're technically.
I know, but.
Applying to the city manager.
I know that, but he goes by recommendations, I think, of the department that knows what they want to cover and do, right?
Right? So, but you are technically applied to the manager for appointment.
Yes, I know that.
Who then will lean on the existing
for
city
advice.
Staff and members for
right.
advice.
He doesn't just, I mean, he doesn't know
No, he
that.
Doesn't do he it willy-nilly,
yeah.
no. And it's not political. I mean, that's the most
I know.
Important thing. It is
and this
not
will become
political.
Political.
This is going to become totally politicized.
Now they yeah. cite other
if
cities
passes.
That do it this way, but I
there is a big
whether,
distinction. All right. So
yeah,
let me say one
yeah.
thing about that. So
yeah, okay.
I believe in every other city where they have a directly elected mayor. So in other words,
true,
the city
that's
council
already
had,
different. That's
right.
True.
So the city
yeah.
council had no say so whatsoever in the choice of who got to be mayor. So
right.
the mayor then makes appointments. So they say, well, we'd like to have a little say so in the appointments that the mayor then makes. Because after all, we didn't pick you as the mayor.
Right, where they
okay.
Whereas
right,
in
Cambridge, the
yes, we have
city
a
manager
right.
is effectively, you know, in terms of the charter mm-hmm. and every
yes.
wording in state law, you yeah. can effectively replace the word mayor with city manager.
Right.
But city manager is not elected. The city council hires the manager.
Yes. Right.
And then there is an explicit section in the planning charter that says, you shall not interfere with any hiring decisions or appointment decisions whatsoever for the manager, and it is a felony. It is punishable by jail time,
okay, so
a
wait
fine,
a minute.
And prohibition from ever serving in that elected
wait,
office.
But if that's in the charter, then this ballot question, if it passed, would have to change that.
Well, so then it becomes a question of definitions, and that's why it should have been addressed in the narrative. Okay, if I choose to view appointment and serving on a city board as being more or less equivalent to being employed by the city, again, we have to file ethics forms and do all of that stuff. We're just volunteer.
You are on this race and unity commission. That's the
right. Well, there's some other ones here. Wow. Already there's, the city council is basically trying to, let me just say what the three questions are. So the first one is about boards and commissions, which is extremely problematic.
Yes.
The second one has to do with a mandatory performance review annually of the city manager, which I just consider to be ridiculously superfluous because the city council hires the manager and has always had the authority and the right and maybe arguably even the responsibility to evaluate the performance of their manager.
Yeah, it makes it seem like the charter prevented that, which it doesn't.
No,
and yet it's just ridiculous.
It is. It's just really fundamentally ridiculous. All right. And then the third question is, I find it relatively benign, though it opens some interesting doors.
Yes.
Which is that basically it would say beginning in 2022, mm-hmm. and then every 10 years subsequent,
the charter,
there would be mandatory, the city council would appoint, this is weird, the city council would appoint a committee to review the charter and make recommendations, for possible charter change. But who does the appointment of the commission, the committee that would do that? The council, right? Under state law, the appointing authority is the city manager. So already we are blurring the distinction as to, who the appointing authority is.
Didn't they use the Collins Center to even come up with all this? Couldn't they then outsource that to an entity like that does this kind of work?
I suppose, but they still would have to choose a committee. Yeah. And
it would be more objective. But in
many other cities and towns in Massachusetts, what you do is you could even run to be part of the charter committee. You can be elected to the charter review committee. Hmm. I might argue that would be a good way to do it. But again, I don't necessarily want to just create elections for the sake of elections either. But so I consider this all to be pretty problematic. But it'll be sold as, these are necessary checks and balances, as I'm
There's
sure
a lot
the
rhetoric
will say.
There's a lot of candidates and incumbents that want to see a mayor instead of a city manager.
Yeah. So anyway, it's interesting. It's all being pitched as though somehow this is a great way to somehow pull back some of the authority from a tyrannical city manager.
Because we don't have municipal broadband. Let's face it, that's the main issue.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Whatever. But meanwhile, what's up with the city manager search? I haven't heard anything
about
that.
That's true.
Lately.
That committee that was meeting, they canceled one meeting, and then does he actually leave?
I actually have it posted on the website.
I thought it was January.
It's either the end of January. It could be later.
January. Excuse me. Who would be acting? Because you're talking 3 months here.
Right, but the provision may also state something like they would have to inform each other as of that date. He would continue until
June,
of the fiscal year or something like that.
Which
I'd have to go look at it. Yeah, simultaneously trying to replace a manager while making fundamental changes to the city charter
is dealing with COVID.
So I honestly, this is one of the primary reasons why I'm voting for so few incumbents.
Well, you should have seen that was the last question posed to these ABC people, even though, because Patty Nolan's made sure, aren't you going to ask about the charter review thing, which really didn't.
Well, she's hanging her hat on that. And honestly,
I know. And they all went along with it, I think. Although Joe McQuirk did say earlier that he liked the Plan E form of government.
I think by every objective standard, Cambridge is doing pretty well and has done very well. And you can't just say, that's because of Harvard and MIT. It isn't because they were, you know,
well, it's been well managed, but you know,
well managed,
yeah, there's issues, yeah,
you know, fiscally sound, and it's actually been, you know, 98% great, I think, under the charter. So to me, sure, nothing should be necessarily be forever. So looking at it is certainly a worthwhile endeavor. But honestly, to come up with these particular proposed changes, because some counselors in a couple of Zoom meetings with no public participation decided that this is what they want.
Well, it was the mayor.
To me, that was absolutely bad procedure.
I cannot
respect any of that. So meanwhile, there are actually other a few things I think worth mentioning. I think it might have been on our very last program. I think I was sort of, you know, speaking to the virtues of Christine Elo, why she should be the next police commissioner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So within a week, she was appointed acting police commissioner.
That's great. I would love choice. To see her as a commissioner permanently.
Yeah, I mean, there are actually a number of really great people actually within the department. She's
really?
One of them,
yep.
And I was very happy to see that. So that was a good choice. Another one is our city clerk, Anthony Wilson.
Oh, yeah, he's leaving.
So he's basically going to serve
one
3-year term.
He's been there 3 years, which is, I mean, wow, time flies.
Yeah, but come the end of next May, then he will depart and just go back to practicing.
There's a lot of, you know, the city, the councilors should work. Those are the two positions, city manager and city clerk. And there's that third one with the auditor.
The city auditor, yeah.
That they can actually have input on. Spend your time doing that. I mean, can you imagine if this passes and then they're going to have to deal with all these. Oh,
well,
this is going to be challenged. I really do.
Here's another thing to consider. I mean, I think a lot of sort of the scuttlebutt, if you talk to people on City Hall, mm-hmm. is that quite a few people may actually said, well, maybe I've been thinking about retiring for a while. So there may be a lot of upheaval in city government.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
No, it makes sense because people have reached a certain age
Yeah, I sort of appreciate the relative stability and institutional memory within some of the city departments.
Yeah.
But, if you're an aggressive kind of revolutionary type of counselor, mm-hmm. you're probably going, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, we can just basically just flush the whole thing clean and just stick people in there, you know, who will basically do our bidding. I'm a little worried about a very destabilized Cambridge City government, if things head in that direction. You know, I don't think I'm being worried about it, but it does definitely worry me.
Meanwhile, Robert, the last that we should, did you see the Globe article today about Mass Ave and Elmia Cass?
Yeah.
Shirley Lunt, right. It was her opinion piece. It was on the front page.
That
really hit it, you know, and your comments on your page
in recent days, I've sort of been trying to highlight
too much.
You know, we all like to sort of speak in rosy terms about how much we love Central Square and the outdoor dining, whatever. But
I will never walk through Graffiti Alley. Number one, because the paint smells. But I just
I know the bloom is off the rose when it comes to Graffiti Alley for me personally. But we can all speak well about how much we love some of the great things that are happening in Central Square. And by the way, it's worth pointing out that Michael Monestime, who has really been one of the driving forces in actually establishing the business district, is actually going to be stepping down.
Hopefully he's going to something good. We'll see.
He's a great guy. Honestly, I'll say straight away, I hope that obviously not this year, but 2 years from now, that he's a candidate. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Honestly, he's got all the qualities and the empathy and the charisma, that would make, he would be a great elected official, I hope down the road he considers doing that. I think it would be great actually. Yeah. I don't know if he's interested in that, but it would be just great.
I'm sure he's listening to this thing. What? Robert,
maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. But the truth is that we do have a serious intravenous drug abuse problem in Central Square right now.
And
it has grown worse.
Yeah, I know. And I really, I don't know what the answer is. They clearly don't. We talk about homelessness and needing more place, but no one really is dealing with it because it's so no one wants to really deal with this.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do.
It is hard.
And it's not, I don't think it's people are being cruel by saying that it has to be addressed. I think it just has to be addressed.
I thought it was illegal to shoot up drugs on the street. Isn't it?
I thought it was, but, you know, and I have to say, I've lived in Cambridge for now 43 years.
Yeah, and you've seen it 43
and a half
enough.
Years.
Yeah.
I never once saw anybody shooting up. And in the last few weeks, I have seen multiple times now people shooting up in Central Square. You know, one on the steps of the YWCA and the other one right at the end of Graffiti Alley. And, all the police could do was basically say, gather up your goods, gentlemen, and move along.
That's all they can do? Why can't they take them somewhere?
You know, I don't really know what the limitations are. And, you know,
well, this is where I think having a mobile van or something that completely addresses this, if that's part of,
the needle exchange,
safety, public safety, I'm totally in support of if that could be part of it.
When the needle exchange was first established in Central Square, it was a mobile operation. Then it became a brick and mortar operation over on Green Street. You know, and now it's basically become a magnet, and basically people
I think it should be a mobile operation.
They pass out the needles. They don't even bother to exchange them most of the time now.
How's that different than a safe injection site?
You don't have a nurse or somebody there supervising things.
But on the mobile van, they didn't have a nurse.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Well,
the van was basically going around talking to people.
Okay.
You know, basically, we'll take in your needles, we'll give out some needles and whatever, and then you're going to do what you're going to do anyway, right? But, you know, the thing is they're not passing out the drugs. So the drugs have to be dealt, and there are people dealing the drugs openly all around Central Square, it's more than just tolerated. It's almost like encouraged. They sit at the edge of the municipal parking lot. And
something's got to give. I don't know what, but
I don't know what the answers are either.
I do. I would like other people involved besides the police, or maybe with, because people with guns scare me.
I think the police are pretty open to that idea too. They don't necessarily enforcement.
That's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Frankly,
right.
How to deal with
that's
this.
True.
So,
and it's anyway. It's basically we're not as bad as Mass and Cass over in
no,
Boston.
And you know what? According to the mayor there, she said, "Well, a lot of these people aren't from Boston." What? Maybe it's true because everyone's saying people come to
their
services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do enforcement over Boston, they basically take the bus or the train and they'll show up in Central Square. So we do have kind of a shared problem here. But let's at least acknowledge it and then take steps from there.
I think we should end because we did go over and
already
kind of cut this, but
All
right, so we'll be back, I guess, in the first Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be back soon, right?
Yeah, so, okay, take care,
anyway, until then, see you later on Cambridge Inside Out.